socket to me?
This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm your host, Dave Nelson, and for the next 60 minutes, we will explore the vinyl history of rock and roll, zeroing in on the lesser-heard world of B-sides and album cuts, along with, at times, some not-so-subtle commentary, incorporating everything from the blues of the 30s to the rock and roll of today. This is the music we love. Let's give it the respect it deserves.
You're bound to think that I'm on the shore from a sea that never came. Now's the time to find the time. I've done what has to be done. Voices call the nameless one, crying all of the time. Tales of no one in my sleep, stepping out into the night. From a sea that almost came. There's no time to find the time. I've done what has to be done. I've done what has to be done.
As the decade of the 60s came to an end, the rock and roll therein got progressively harder, culminating as the clock struck midnight on December 31st in what was to become a landmark beginning to a new decade. The birth of hard rock, previous to the heavy metal that was to come, was another Goldilocks period, not too soft, not too hard, well, just right. And, not coincidentally, just so happens to be the subject of this Vinyl Garage. We began our inspection of this monumental period of rock and roll with a band best known for its bassist, vocalist Glenn Hughes, Trapeze. Turning down Apple Records, Trapeze signed to the Moody Blues label Threshold, with Moody John Lodge producing. Hughes, the rock and roll everyman, would, after leaving the band, find work in Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, Judas Priest, and Whitesnake. We heard the title track to their second long player, 1970's Medusa, a sadly underrated record that should be included on every list of influential albums from this period. Meanwhile, across the pond in Detroit, Cream Magazine's first documented reference to the genre heavy metal was in a review for this Brooklyn band, Sir Lord Baltimore, and their first release from 1971, Kingdom Come. Here's the title track from that LP. Caution, serious, grungy fuzz guitars ahead.
I toll. We'll be right back. proving that the B3 can still be a big part of hard rock and roll was the first single by Uriah Heep, Gypsy, from the very heavy, very humble LP from 1970. The 7-inch charted only in Germany. The Heap would be an acquired taste domestically. Another band dead serious with the B3 was Deep Purple. Their keyboardist, John Lord, in particular. For those of you not privy to the term B3, it is a reference to the Hammond organ, Model B3. John and the instrument was highlighted on the track Lazy from 1972's Machine Head album, the record that put Deep Purple on the rock map, mainly due to his inclusion of the cut Smoke on the Water. If you want to be taken seriously as a rock and roll devotee, this record must be in your collection. Next up, a record that if I did find it in your collection, I would have been quite impressed. The first release by the West London band Stray, being quite prolific, released 8 LPs in its first incarnation, but never managed to make the jump from an opening act to headliner in its nearly 14 years together. Born during Sgt. Pepper London, Stray ran the gambit, touching on psychedelic, blues, hard, and prog rock throughout their career. From their first self-titled record, the single, Only What You Make It. Neither the LP or single were released by a U.S. record company.
We'll be right back.
Everyone in the Wayback Machine, here in the Vinyl Garage.
Thank you. Thank you. She struts into the room. Well, I don't know her, but with a magnifying glance, I just sort of look her over. We have a drink or two, well, maybe three.
from Leslie West and Mountain's first LP, Climbing, Theme from an Imaginary Western. The cut, written by Cream's Jack Bruce, manages to harden an otherwise mellow ballad, making it worthy of being placed after the iconic Mississippi Queen on the LP. Now, I'm all for a great guitar riff, and the next cut, Melody with Balls from Canadian band War Pig, is a great riff. Don't take my word for it. Ask Ted Nugent. He liked it enough to call it his own, titling his version Stranglehold. Can't have an early 70s hard rock list without Alice Cooper. At this time, it's the name of the band. Vinny wouldn't be Alice until 1975. And the cut, Be My Lover, from 1971's Killer album, the second and highest charting single from that record. Speaking of Detroit, one of the more obscure bands from the Motor City was Head Over Heels, from their one and only LP, a self-titled project that yielded the track Roadrunner, and the classic Black Sabbath cut, NIB, from their first album for Warner Brothers. Apparently, the title is an inside joke referring to Geezer Butler's beard. We're closing out another Vinyl Garage with a pair of 70s New England hard rock bands that are just a bit lesser known than obscure, and one that you'll find familiar. The Haverhill, Massachusetts Euclid, from their LP Heavy Equipment with She's Gone, the neighboring Cheshire, Connecticut's Yesterday's Children, and their What of I, from the album of the same name, and finally, Blue Oyster Cult's first single, Cities on Flame, with Rock and Roll.
See you. rock and roll.
Good hour of your life you'll never get back spent listening to me. The Vinyl Garage applauds your discerning taste. Questions, comments, your undying allegiance, or outright disdain can be directed at vinylgarage@oh.rr.com or Facebook.com/vinylgarageshow. So until next time, this is Dave Nelson. As always, thanks for listening.
Right, since you went out zero, you know, the shader of substance.